That's for sure.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Our beginning three scriptures are Leviticus 17:11, for those of you that have your Bibles, if you want to turn there. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And the next scripture is 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And the last scripture is Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So now we're going to get into the word, and you have in your packets, will you please turn to page 11? We'll start there because that's the terminology. So the first one we have is conscience. Conscience is knowing within ourselves what is right and what is wrong. Then we have ransom. Ransom is the price paid to release someone from bondage. The chief Christ became our ransom to release us from the bondage and sin. Then we have further down on the page, salvation. Salvation is sozo. It means deliverance from danger and health, persevered body and body made whole, deliverance, spirit equals soul, body, and deliverance from suffering, everlasting life. Sozo is all inclusive. Whatever you get in salvation, you get everything in sozo. Then we have covenant. Covenant is a mutual agreement contract coming together. Testament is a promise, a covenant. A will is what is left behind by one's works of deeds to those that are living. And covenant is the nature of the entire gospel program. At the bottom of the page, you have redeem. Redeem means to buy back, to repurchase, deliver, and rescue from sin by offering sacrificial. This is what Christ did. He redeemed us when he went to the cross for us. And redemption is at the bottom of the page, a releasing of for payment or for a ransom price, liberating from the guilt and doom of sin and all the forgiveness. So when we receive Christ, we receive forgiveness for all our past sins. Then you go to page 12, propitiation. An appearing act that brings God's forgiveness and new relationship with him. Jesus was our propitiation. We are forgiven. We are new creatures in Christ, and we are joint heirs with Jesus. Then you have remission, remit and forgiveness and forgiven pardon. It is because of grace that we have remission. Righteousness. Righteousness means without sin and conforming to God's will. You have wisdom. Wisdom is the use of knowledge of the word and good judgment. Reconciliation, the act of restoring a broken relationship. Satan has taken the blood and uses it in every area associated with death. Many people consider blood as gross, but blood is our redeeming nature. We have it. then you have the blood of Jesus is a wonderful and most precious thing. Church doesn't teach anything about the blood of Jesus. Its overcoming power is what we have in it and how to use it. If your church isn't teaching the blood of Jesus, they need to be teaching it. Because right now, for these end times, the blood of Jesus is a necessity.
Absolutely.
The last paragraph, the blood of Jesus is the purest blood. It's 100% of the Father's blood, and Satan perverts it, mixing it with urine for his sacrifices. God uses blood to set people free. Page 13. Marriage, one man and one woman.
Amen.
Obey and disobey, peace and war, unity and strife, blessing and cursing, forgiveness and unforgiveness. Then you go down to blood is our protection against everything. If you aren't using the blood daily, you need to begin using it in the morning when you get up and all through the day, because Satan is afraid of the blood of Jesus. He cannot come against it. So now at the bottom of the page, did God give you his righteousness? Yes. God and Jesus are under covenant. We go to page 14. All things are beneath your feet. Communion. Lord's table equals confession of our love for him, just as it is his love for us when he gave us Jesus. Because we're washed in the blood of Jesus, we become righteous. When we are unrighteous, we cannot even stand in the presence of God. For years, the church taught on sin, sin, sin. And most times, that's what people are dealing with. I'm a sinner. You're not a sinner. You were a sinner. You are saved by grace. And now you must walk in that grace that you have received. Walk in the freedom from sin. We can't dwell on sin. We have to bypass that and go on with all that we have in Christ. At the bottom of the page, begin to see yourself as God's child. Most Christians fear Satan and do not understand Satan has been defeated. On to the next page. The blood is our protection against everything. Satan was defeated by the blood of Jesus in every area of our lives. The blood is more powerful than anything Satan can send against us. But if you do not know or understand it or believe it, you will be defeated. Now, I want to tell you, these notes are for you to take home and for you to read over. And I encourage you to do that. I'm just hitting on the highlights, okay? And at the bottom of the page, you have some scriptures and a few words about the scriptures. At the bottom of the page, you have remission. Remission is pardon. Sins are wiped out as if they never happen again. Then you have remembrance. Without the blood, there is no remission. Redeemed, brought back out of bondage. Sanctification, set aside for God's use. We are his property, justified, made righteous, acquitted. Wisdom, we have wisdom to use. On the next page, page 16, you have a lot more scriptures, and as I do, I encourage you to go through them. After the first paragraph, you have love on the left-hand side. You see some scriptures about love. Because of God's love for us, he gave us Jesus. Then you have further down hope. Have you all found hope? Faith is always new, working by love. Faith is a gift God has given us. Then you have grace. Grace is given to us by Jesus. And grace is God's authority, his abilities, his capabilities, his equipment, his power, and his anointing. That's what grace is. Then at the bottom of the page, you have favor. Favor is God's help, provision, support, and assistance. Now the next page, page 17, gives you some scripture and verses 4 through 16 of Psalm 91. Now turn to page 1. All right. Page 1 is the blood. The blood cleanses, covers, and enables us to stand in his glory. The blood of Jesus and the glory of God travel a circular route. You see a circle coming down one arrow, going up another arrow. That's Jesus. Jesus came down and he went back up. All divine circles end in the glory with God being glorified. Christ came to us bringing salvation. As he returned to heaven, he brought the Father glory and pleasure. Gospel to us is that we are sowed from sin to God. We are redeemed to God for his glory. The circle of blood, the circular path of blood began in heaven before the foundation of the world. Now, if you study your Bible carefully, you will see that there was a first earth here. This is the second earth. In the first earth, it was declared that in circular, the path of blood began in heaven before the foundation of this world. It began with the first world when Christ was here. All right. Man would be a spirit. This is how it would work. Before God created man, he knew man would fall, and God foreordained man's redemption with the precious blood. All divine plans originate with the Father, and so it is with man. Then underneath 1 Peter 1:18, you have man would be a spirit on God's order and kind, made in God's image. Man would be able to fellowship with God and use God and love God. Man would work with God to have dominion over the works of God's hands. Yet because of God's purpose for him, man could not be a robot. Spirit man would be given a soul with a mind, will, and emotion. God knew man would fall into Satan's hand, but God would redeem man. God would make man a creature of blood, unlike angels and Lucifer himself, who were not created with blood. Angels have no blood. They are a spirit being. God would call man Adam, connected with blood and ground from which he was made. The blood of Adam and the ground Adam both were red. Adam had a reddish countenance, and that's why he was called Adam. God would put spirit and soul of man into a body of flesh made from the dust of the ground. The life of the flesh would be in the blood. Man's body could be an earthen vessel and could be broken and poured out when a divine person would go to earth and live in a prepared life, him and without sin. His vessel could be broken and his perfect life poured out in his blood for the remission of sin. And that was Jesus. Now go to page 2. God as the Son became the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The circular bloodline began in heaven, and as do all things, it formed a circle. Coming down from heaven in types and shadows, because God had to reveal to fallen man the place and power of the blood of the Lamb to redeem him. First, blood shed by God himself to cover man with animal skins. Blood on every Old Testament altar revealed the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Angels are spiritual beings. They have no flesh and blood. Angels are spiritual and have spiritual life, not human life. Angels will never die. They will go on forever, just like demon spirits go on forever. The contact between the divine and humanity rests in the bloodstream. The blood contains the life of God. The blood does not control the culture or color of a person. Once blood leaves the body, the life of that person is gone. When a simple person accepts Jesus, a great cleansing takes place, and sin that was in the blood is purged. Down below you have Satan. Satan hates the mention of the blood of Jesus. When you apply the blood of Jesus on something in faith, Satan will flee. The life of Jesus is in the blood, and I have taken it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement to your soul. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Go to the next page. Every night before you go to bed, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus and your entire family. God does not even see our sins after we accept Jesus because the blood covers them. Life is in the blood, and the blood is the only substance that can make an atonement or covering for our sins. The principle of a life for a life goes through the whole Bible. Adam and Eve's fig leaves were not good enough because they didn't invoke the shedding of blood. There are three that bear witness in the earth: spirit, water, and blood, and these three agree in one. Water is often a symbol of the word of God and washes us continually. Word without the blood is not effective for the life of Jesus. The word of God is in the blood. The Holy Spirit is in complete agreement with the water and the blood. When we have the blood, the Holy Spirit manifests himself on our behalf. The Holy Spirit agrees with the word and with the blood, and all agree with each other. The blood was put on the altar. The blood was put on high priest garments. The blood works in perfection. In the next page, the bottom of the cross. The blood was on the side of the cross. The blood was on the earth beneath. Was before the tabernacle seven times. God cannot look upon sin. You should be singing, talking, and applying the plea of blood to plead the blood. The devil hates it. He tries to keep us blind to it. Never try to cast out demons if you do not have faith in the blood of Jesus. Blood, the blood on the mercy seat now cries. The price is paid and sin is covered. Abel's blood cried out. Abel's blood cried out for vengeance. Jesus' blood cries out for grace. Page 5. The blood shall be to you a token. It shall be used. This was a type of the blood of Jesus, which God already saw them. God will give you a token. He said to the lady that tied a scarlet thread to her window. It protected her in the walls of Jericho. When the walls fell down, her place remained. And everybody in her family was protected. There were 62 people protected because of the thread in the window. The guarantee was they had to remain inside the house. If they went out of the house, their blood wasn't covered. But they remained in the house. Her father, her mother, her sisters, her brother, all their help, everybody was included in that. They weren't even saved. So imagine what God will do for us. God does his part when we do ours. Rahab used a type of the blood, the scarlet thread. The high priest ordained the priesthood. Part of the order included putting the blood on the tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot wherever he walked. Leviticus 8:24 says Satan is the author of all damage to the body. We need to apply the blood of Jesus to our bodies as a covering. This prevents Satan from attacking us with germs. Germs are from the enemy. Viruses are from the enemy. All sickness and all disease is from the enemy. You are bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Page 6. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I want to explain to you, when Jesus arose from the dead, he was there for 3 days. He arose from the dead, and Mary saw him, and she went to touch him. And he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He took his blood up unto the mercy seat in heaven. Mm-hmm. Hebrews tells us there was a tabernacle in heaven. Mm-hmm. There is a tabernacle in heaven. Moses was made to have, was told to have the pattern on earth exactly the same way. So Jesus took his blood, laid it on the mercy seat, came back down, and then he said to the women, now you can touch me. Now you can grab my ankles. Now you can touch the holes in my hands, because the blood had already been put up there for us.
Wow.
That's why we are protected, because the blood was up there. Go to the first paragraph. We only enter with the precious blood of Jesus. We have our own hearts sprinkled, and we enter boldly into the holiest of the blood. Jesus was the propitiation through faith in his blood. Always apply the blood out loud.
Amen.
You don't have to shout it, but you say, in the name of Jesus, I apply the blood to whatever you are applying it to. Jesus sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and he purchased salvation for all mankind. When you sprinkle the blood, you are doing these three things. You are reminding God, you are trusting his mercy. You are reminding Satan, he cannot touch you when you are under the blood. Reminding yourself that you have confidence in Christ. Plead the blood whenever you're being attacked, spiritually, physically, emotionally, solely. Plead the blood. Cover your paycheck, your finances, everything. The bottom paragraph, the plague of death was a judgment. The day Adam fell, sin was born. Man had judgment coming, but God held off the fullness of judgment. On this night, God would lift his hand withholding judgment and allow Satan to carry out sentence of the law of sin and death. Satan knew that the children of Israel were the sons of Adam too, and they were to receive sentence. That's why the Israelites had to put the blood on the doorpost, on the left hand, on the right hand, and on the top of the door. That signifies the Christ. All of those that were inside the house were protected, just like with Rahab. The blood stopped Satan from killing them. He could not even kill one of their animals. Why? When the head of the house applied the blood to the door, it represented the power in the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Remember, God calls the end from the beginning. He sees it already done. When God saw the blood applied in faith, he could see the household through the redeeming blood of Jesus that he had already ordained before the foundation of the world, and judgment would be stayed. To stop the spiritual destruction in one life by the enemy, we must personally apply the blood of Christ. Moses kept the Passover by sprinkling of the blood. And then the last paragraph, do not limit the sower of the blood to what you understand. Just because you don't understand it fully, it doesn't mean that it doesn't work for you. You have to apply it by faith, and it will work. One of the greatest mysteries in the Christian life is the worth of the sower of his blood. Use the blood. Apply it in faith. Going on to page 8. The blood of Jesus is the primary weapon for this final hour of the age. Using the name of the blood to bring up children. In the name of Jesus, plead the blood over your children. When they leave, put your hands on their heads and say, in the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus over them. In the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus over their schoolwork, over what they do, whether they're at home, whether at play, or wherever. Demons do not have doors and windows, but as a point of contact of your faith, as a symbol, put them on the, you can anoint your house. You take a little bit of oil. It can be any kind of oil, baby oil, corn oil, whatever. You separate it by sanctifying it. I sanctify this oil in the name of Jesus. Then you take your finger and you take some oil. You put it above every door and every post in your house, every window in your house. Demons can pass through them, but they can't when the blood is on them. Do this every so often, because people coming in bring demons with them. You don't know that. You can't see them, but the demons are there. And so you have to use these methods of protection God has given us. If we use them, we have no excuse. If we don't use them, we don't have any excuse, because the demons will come in. You may not think that, well, I don't see any demons. You aren't going to see demons. You don't see demons. Demons are spirits. You don't see angels, but angels are here. Angels are all around us. Demons always look for any link that they can find. They come down generally, generationally like this, and they'll go like this demonically. Association by association. So that when you have a son born, let's just take a son. You have a son born into the family and you say, oh, he's just like his dad. You don't want to say that, because the bad qualities in the dad are going to come forth in the son because of what you have said. He may look like his dad, but don't say he is exactly like his dad, because you're inviting them in, and they do come in. Believe me. In the middle of the page, applied blood of Jesus over the entire house. Now, this is a story that there were four boys who rented a double wide trailer. And the first day they came home, the TV and the stereo were blaring. Nobody was there. So they thought someone was playing a game on them, but they found out. They called one of the boys' mothers who was into this, and they asked her, and she said, certainly. So she told them what to do, and you could read about it there, and the demons left. Daily confess this over your children. Read Psalm 91 and have your child read it before they leave for school every day. Every parent should be doing this. Psalm 91 is our psalm of protection.
Amen.
And with the blood of Jesus, it is undefeatable.
Right.
So that's what you should be doing. At the next page, page 9, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Revival is a life of the Lord poured into your heart. A broken will is the beginning of revival. Jesus sets aside his own glory so Jesus would have all and be all, and self denies anything on its own. Self-pity, self-indulgence, anything of self invites the enemy. Anything of self. So these are some: self-pity, self-indulgence, self-energy, self-complacency, self-seeking, self-sensitiveness, touchiness, resentment, self-defense, self-consciousness, reserve, worry, fear, all are from self. The source of all these equals unbelief as an inverted form of pride. We can be cleansed. The blood says he fills us to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Daily we can yield to the blood. Then down below, someone hurts and slights us. We have a choice to forgive and go again, to keep it. The blood from the cross cleanses us from all sin. Everything that comes between us and another believer, as impatience, envy, resentment, comes between us and God and must be removed immediately. If you harbor it, if you don't say anything, if you keep it inside, it's going to keep on growing and growing and growing. it will cause strife, and strife is deadly. Strife will stop your prayers from being answered. It will stop dead in a church. Strife cannot be allowed. So you cannot harbor any unforgiveness towards anyone, regardless of what they say or what they do say. Father, I forgive them in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to do the same. The lamb and the dove equal the most gentle of all God's creatures. The lamb equals the simplest of all God's creatures. It has no idea how to keep itself. That's why lambs need a shepherd. It exists in helplessness and simplicity. Jesus was helpless without the Father. The vision of an African, this is a man carrying a heavy load up a hill. And this is, when I was in Haiti, a man was teaching a seminar. And I walked into the seminar and I sat there and I listened, and he broke for lunch. But just before that, he said, I was carrying a heavy load and God redeemed me. But the Haitians didn't understand what he meant. So I asked a Haitian, and I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, I don't really understand it. What it means is, if you are carrying a backpack, you are going to be bowed over and bowed over. But Jesus came along to remove that backpack and put it on himself and carry it for you. So when that backpack is removed, you can stand up straight. You can walk straight saying, I've been redeemed. Then you understand what redemption is. Now we go to page 16. Oh, 10. I'm sorry. Yeah. Not really open with each other. We do not want others to know us, what we really are. We are not transparent with each other and not real with each other. We aren't. We hide. Always there's something of ourselves hidden from someone else. We need to be transparent. That's the trouble with the church today. You can be transparent. You can be not transparent. But if you are transparent, everybody will know what is in you. And that's what it should be. There should be nothing hidden from each other. We are all the same as far as God is concerned. There is no hierarchy in the spirit realm as far as God's concerned. So before anyone can do their greatest work for God, one must die to self-will. Your own goodness, your own popularity, the beam and the moat. The moat equals a tiny speck or splinter, and the beam is a great big piece of wood. The moat equals a fault we can discern in another, but maybe something he's done against us, an attitude he has toward us. The beam in our own eye equals our own unloving reaction to the other's mate. The first beginning of resentment is a beam. We need to recognize our unloving reaction to him is sin. And now we come to page 17. The power in the blood. What we have in the blood.
That's number 18.
It's 17A. You have 17A? Okay. What we have in the blood. And the scriptures are on the left and on the right hand. The power in the blood. Peace is made between God and man. Does everybody have it? 17a. Forgiveness of sin and eternal life for all who put their faith in Jesus. Satan is overcome. There is continual cleansing from sin, all sin for us. We are set free from an evil conscience to serve the living God. Hebrews 10:19. By the power of the blood, even the most unworthy have the liberty to enter into the holiest of holiest to live there. Now down below you have the different ways to use the blood. And all of these are very important. You can use any one of them. You don't have to use them all together. You can use any one. To plead means confront, declare, speak, or defend. It doesn't mean you pray, oh God, please, oh God, please. When you're pleading the blood, you are speaking it, you're putting it forth, and that's the end of it. Sprinkle means to dip in, strike, scathe, or pour. Cover means to cover over, cover under, hide, or surround, like with a blanket. A token. A token is a sign or a witness. You plead the blood under something. Something is under your feet. You pour it beneath or below you. You walk on it. You tread on it. You hold the blood. You keep it in place. Remain fixed. Don't give up. You hold it there. You draw a line with the blood. You mark a line from which you will not withdraw and you will not back off from. Satan, I'm telling you right now, I'm drawing a line in the sand. Yes. I'm drawing a line with the blood of Jesus. Yes. I will not back up. I will not turn around. I will not move on my faith. I'm standing right here, and I'm holding the blood against you. And yes, that's that. Yes. You apply the blood. You bring it into contact with a salve, like a salve. You put it on. I apply the blood of Jesus over anybody or whatever. You release, you loose, you let it be free to do its work. You are under the blood. You have already put something under it, and you just remind Satan that it is under the blood. Now, the following pages are all on explanations about the ones we just covered. To cover means we can cover ourselves, our loved ones, family, and friends. The blood covers every area of our lives. A witness or a sign is to set a boundary for your protection. And before you leave here, we'll hand out a token for you to put on your front door or you to put anywhere in your house that Satan, that it's a token, it's a sign to Satan. Plead the blood. When you sin, the judge asks, how do you plead? You say, I am guilty. I'm sorry I made a wrong choice and sinned against you and your word. The judge says, he or she has been redeemed. What redeemed you? The blood of Jesus. I paid for that sin. I took his or her place. Is Jesus talking for you? Jesus is your attorney. The judge says, not guilty. Satan has no power against the blood of Jesus. No weapon he uses can stand against the blood of Jesus. Under the blood, you are under the blood. It's over you. Holding the blood. You fight a good battle. You hold your faith. You stay submitted to God. Once applied, you hold the blood of the situation until you see the victory using your authority. Draw a line by the blood. You draw a line against the enemy. You're on one side of the line and he is on the other. Excuse me. Releasing the blood. You are set free from its confinement. We can release Satan's hold on others using the blood. Satan, I command you in the name of Jesus to release so-and-so. He is set by the blood of Jesus. I claim it. My right standing with God gives me the authority to tell you, you are defeated. Get away from him. Get away now in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's how you talk to Satan. Amen. You don't say, Satan, I command you, because he doesn't obey that. He knows you don't really mean what you say. And so you go on and you say, we can release Satan's hold on others with the blood. Sprinkle means to scatter in small drops. Pour on or dip in. There are 8 things the blood says to us. Romans 5:9, you are justified, innocent, not guilty, acquitted. You are redeemed. You have peace. You are God's property. You are set aside for God's use. You have evermore salvation. You are cleansed, You are washed. You have victory. You have victory how? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. They love not their lives unto the death. Excuse me. The blood of Jesus, use it, cover, plead, release, draw a line or place. If you never use it, you will never receive it. You cannot have faith in something you don't know about. Satan has been defeated by the cross. Amen. He's been defeated by the blood. The blood, on page 20, releases you from every stronghold of Satan. It protects you from all the attacks of Satan. It gives you absolute victory in every storm. You can cover your house. You can cover your property. If you know there's a storm coming, if you know there's a tornado or a hurricane, you can either walk the line or draw a picture of your land. And you say to Satan, Satan, I'm telling you right now, I give you no authority over this. I will not lose one tree, one shrub, one flower on my property. And he will go around it.
Thank you, Lord.
The blood gives you absolute victory in every storm. The blood completes you in prayer. It releases the benefits of redemption, and it makes you a winner. The blood releases you from the stronghold of all demons and every demon's power. There are four classes of demons: principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Your weapon over the wickedness is in the blood. It has the power to protect the secret place under the blood, is Psalm 91. This house is covered by the blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
Absolute victory in every situation, refusing to be defeated. To plead isn't to beg. Here, it's a legal term. Plead in the law is an allegation made by either side in a lawsuit. Vindication is opposite of accusation. It's the clearing of suspension, set free. Redeemed covers three areas: redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed to the blessings of the Lord, redeemed to receive the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now picture this. You are in a courtroom. God is the judge. Jesus is the advocate. You are arguing or pleading a cause. Satan is the prosecuting attorney, the accuser. The Bible, the book of the law. Satan tries to stop us with any sin we have done according to the Bible. Satan says guilty. Jesus says, no, we've been redeemed from that blood. Jesus is our faithful witness. He has washed us in his blood, and he continues to keep us in his blood. Now, page 21 are more scriptures of what we have in the blood. Page 22 are even more scriptures. Page 23 are even more scriptures. So go to page 24. What do we have in the blood? You are justified. You are free from sin. Acquitted. Declared not guilty. You are innocent. You are redeemed from the curse of the law, as is everyone that hangeth from a tree. The blood of Jesus says you have rights. If you don't have the blood of Jesus, you have no curses. No, if you have the blood of Jesus, you have no curses. The blood says you have the peace of God, and God has peace through us with Jesus. You receive peace because you take God at his word. You are God's property. The blood says you are God's property. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. The blood says you have everlasting salvation on God's part. The blood of the covenant makes you perfect. You have eternal redemption through the blood. You are cleansed. These two units go together, yet they are separate. You are washed. Jesus cleanses us from all sins. The blood says you are washed from past sins. You are clean. Now when we sin, we confess it to the Father, and the blood washes it away. When Satan tells you otherwise, you stand firm and say, Satan, you are a liar. I'm washed in every area and I am clean. The blood of the Lamb, hold up your Bible and say, this is my covenant with God. I have a covenant. I am free from sin. You'll not get me on that sin. That was the old me. So there you have your notes to study when you get home. That's just to give you a little bit of teaching about the blood. And that isn't all that is in there about the blood. So now, regarding the covenant that was made between Abraham in Genesis 17, Abraham God was making a covenant with Abraham, but in that covenant he used Jesus. The Bible says, and here I have. Genesis 15. We can never break the covenant. Once you have a covenant with God, the covenant is not with you. The covenant is made between the smoking furnace and the burning lamp. Jesus and God. The covenant is made between God and Jesus. You come behind Jesus so that it's like this. This is Jesus. God is up here. I'm standing behind Jesus. When I break covenant, I step out of the alignment. The covenant is still in effect between the Father and the Son, because that's how it was made. What breaks the covenant? Sin, fear, strife, walking out of love, moving out of faith. Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10 says, we leave the covenant when we totally walk away from God and the Lord. The beginning of an apostate is this. The covenant was made between the Father and the Son in Genesis 17. Now the covenant is made between the Father and the Son on the cross for us. Do you see how both of them coincide with each other? The covenant was made with the Father and the Son for Abraham. We are Abraham's children, so the covenant was made between the Father and the cross on our behalf. So, you step out of covenant, you're beginning to step out, and the covenant is still these horizontal lines. You're a little bit covered. You keep on walking, you get worse, you get worse, you work, and pretty soon you are in total darkness. That's apostate. When you are in total darkness. Total darkness means you're back in the world. But Jesus has redeemed you from that. Now, does anybody not understand that?
Does that mean your heart's hardened when you're, is that the definition of your heart being hardened when you've completely walked out?
Yes, right. Now, God gives you the choice, because when you read in Exodus, when God gave Pharaoh over to a hardened heart, God gave him a choice. You see, God can't go past our choice. God gives each of us a will. And with that will, you decide what you're going to do. You're either going to go with God or you're going to go against God. You can't do both. You have to choose one or the other. So in that covenant, yes, that's what he did. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you, do not overcome Satan by your good works. You can work all your life and you will never overcome him. You don't come against Satan with your goodness or your holiness or your righteousness or your mental abilities or your education or your skills or your tenacity. None of those will work. He will still come against you and he will beat you every time unless you are using the blood. It's imperative that you remember to use the blood all the time. it doesn't matter whether people laugh at you or whatever. You don't have to shout it out. All you have to do is say, in the name of Jesus, I am coming against you with his blood. But you have to say it out loud because Satan cannot read your mind. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. You see this blood, Satan? This blood represents, this covenant represents my blood with Jesus. Jesus has washed me in his blood. I am clean. And when he tries to bring up your past sins, say, not me. That's the old me. The old me is dead. I'm new in Christ. And you have your blood. You must know and understand that Satan is the author of all damage to your body. All damage to your body comes from Satan. Demons attack any injured or any part of your body. The blood of Jesus over you attacks the blood of Jesus attacks the enemy. John Lakes, I don't know how many of you know of John Lakes. He was a missionary to Africa. His daughter was badly burned and he took the blood and he put it over her. I applied this like a salve over his daughter, and his daughter was completely healed. That's the power of the blood. Satan will never leave you if you keep quiet. If you don't say anything, he won't do anything. Now, I'm reminded of Moses. When Moses came out of the presence, very presence of God, and he said to the people, you rebellious people, you want water, we'll give you water. He was in strife. The strife that he had fought for 40 years overcame him. You see, Satan knows, and he will walk with us and keep those spirits available to us all the time. For 40 years, Moses continued to stand for the people against strife. God was going to wipe them all out, and Moses interceded. But at the very end, Moses came out of the very presence of God. And be careful, because when you are in the very presence of God and you come out of that presence, Satan's right there to taunt you, to tempt you, to get you. So Moses responded by saying, you rebellious people, you want water, we'll give you water. And he went against the authority of God. God says, you must always sanctify me before the people. I must always be sanctified. Moses wasn't sanctifying him when he came out and said that. And why was Aaron taken before? Because Aaron didn't defend him. Aaron should have stopped Satan and said, Satan, stop. You know we are to sanctify God. You're not sanctifying him now. I'm going to take authority over you. But he didn't. And so that's why Moses was, Aaron got to see the, didn't even get to see the promised land. Moses got to see it, but he couldn't enter it. Had he used the blood, or he didn't have the blood of Jesus, but had he used the blood of goats and bulls, which they did in Exodus 11, he was familiar with it. It wouldn't have been the same case. We wouldn't have been in this place right now where we're in. But praise God for the blood.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus will always, under every responsibility, take responsibility for you. I think that's about all I have now. Does anybody have any questions?
When one turns into apostasy, they cannot come back to God. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
When a person is an apostate,
right,
they cannot, they're hardened, they cannot return to God.
Right, that's right. Mm-hmm. Because they've walked away from God and they're in total darkness.
You can't come back.
Pardon?
And you can't come back.
Well, that I don't know. I mean, you can have an apostate person if they turn and come back to him and accept Jesus again, they will be forgiven, because God is always in the forgiveness. So I really don't know that. I can't answer that. Any other questions?
Well, we know that he doesn't want anyone to perish.
That's right.
But all come to salvation.
Right.
So you get every opportunity you can afford you.
That's right.
Until you stand before the white throne.
Right. And God, look at, in the situation we're in today, with our world, with our country, with our, God is giving these people every opportunity yes. to come back to him. Every time you hear anything, it's God will give them another opportunity, another opportunity, another opportunity. So God is an opportunity God. All they have to do is say, I repent, I'm sorry. I mean, look at the murderers, the mass murderers that have killed how many people, and God forgives them. So God is always willing to forgive. Always.
I heard a message by Perry Stone once about the last 4 seconds before death. He had interviewed a whole bunch of people that clinically had died and come back. And he said that during that last 4 seconds before the breath leaves you, that there's that time of repentance that God gives. And that it's such a comfort.
Right. But God being God, God is always, you know, he doesn't want that any be lost.
Right.
But the blood is for us who know and who walk with God.
Right.
To use it. If we don't use it, you are the loser.
Right.
Would you pass out those other things, Rich?
So tell me, if someone has walked away from God and you plead the blood of Christ over them, on them,
they can come back if they will. They won't come back because you plead the blood, but you are giving God an opportunity to forgive them.
That's what that is.
And if they,
it's that when I do that, I'm just giving God the opportunity to forgive them.
Right.
If they receive it or not.
Right. That's up to them.
So you're kind of always bringing up to the remembrance of God.
Right.
Kind of.
Right. That's like your children. God doesn't have any grandchildren in heaven.
Right.
Any children in them, you aren't going into heaven because of my walk. It has to be your walk. And that's the trouble. Most parents want to be buddy-buddy, and you can't be buddy-buddy and be a parent. You have to be one or the other. You have to either serve God or not. So, you know.
What did you get the question?
What? No. On page 9. Mm-hmm.
Can you repeat the question, please? Page 9. Self-sins.
Self-pity, self-indulgence.
Reserve. Reserve. Self-reserve.
Reserve, yes.
If you
stop from saying something, if you're very reserved and you don't want to say anything, that's what that means.
That's a self-sin?
Right. Because you're not saying anything. If you don't say anything, Satan considers you quiet. You've already accepted him. And if you do say something, God knows that you're considering him.
Would you talk about the circle of blood?
Right. A little bit.
Well, the circle of blood is God came, Jesus came down from heaven. Jesus coming at the bottom of the circle would be he touched the earth. Mm-hmm. He died here on for our sins. That made us righteous. So then he went back up to heaven, and that's where he is now. So the circle of blood would be from heaven to earth and back up again.
Okay, so blood is circle.
Right, because we're covered with the blood. We are covered. You can't see it, but we are covered with it.
I have a quick testimony. One night, Vicki and I were at my daughter's house in Brunswick. And it was late midnight or so. Well, we prayed with her. And we went out. And she followed us out to the car. So she thought we had ready to go. So we talked a little bit longer. We got in the car. Vicki and I took off. So we were coming from Brunswick, and we're going across 303, and it was like 1 o'clock or something. All of a sudden, the deer ran out. And I said, see that deer? I said, yeah, but well, there's one that's usually two. Bam. Oh, the second one was two. Why? Because we did not pray before we left. Every time we get in the car, I pray, angels, I command you now in the name of Jesus, go before us and be around us, yeah. Cover us, roof to road, door to door, bumper to bumper. We plead the blood of Jesus, amen. The crown of our heads, the soles of our feet, roof to the car, to the road, door to door, bumper to bumper. We rebuke anything or anyone from impeding in our lane of traffic and rebuke any failures of this automobile from the rear top to bottom of the side. How many times since then? Has a deer crossed the road way up ahead of us? Or he stood on the side till we went by? Had we not prayed, I would believe the deer would run out in front of us like it did that night. So we have come to believe through experience that the blood of Jesus and praying before you leave any time is so important, because once you pray that and plead the blood of Jesus, nothing can interfere. And we have had that happen so many times where we have seen what could have been. You know, if somebody started to turn left in front of us, it would have been too late for us to miss him. Stopped in time for us to miss him. So, you know, testimonies are what we all are gifted with. Testimonies. True.
Could I have one of those direct things?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Now, before you leave, we'll go through these prayers. You drop one. First of all, you see this. God is a token. The blood is a token upon this house. Put it on one of your doors. It's a warning to Satan. And it's a testimony to everybody that comes in. All right? Then prayers using the blood. All of these things are all prayers that you can say and for the different things. So I want you to skim down through it, and anybody has any questions about anything? I want some of these are in the word works. I have them in my word works, and I use them every day. Every day. It takes me 2 hours to get through it. But I do it every day because the blood is effective. So does anybody have any questions about it? And I want to close with some questions and answers. Should I use the blood of Jesus or his name? You can use either one. The blood of Jesus and his name or his name. What do I say and how do I use it? You use it in all the ways that are mentioned. Can I use the blood of Jesus on anything? Anything and everything. If your washing machine isn't functioning right, I'm using the blood of Jesus over this washing machine. You will function perfectly. How often can I use the blood of Jesus? It depends on your situation. Use it as often as you need it. If you need it every 5 minutes, that's what you use it for. The blood of Jesus will cover everything. Don't forget that. It covers everything. It covers your appliances. It covers your house. It covers your family. It covers your car. It covers everything.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus is something that you can always use and always have right at your mouth. Amen?
Amen.
Any other questions?
Can we order the token?
Pardon?
It's coming to you from the same one.
Oh. Do I what?
Sure.
Can we order one of those tokens? The red.
Oh, you didn't get one?
No, no, but we're willing to buy one or order it.
Yeah, we'll send you one.
Pastor Shirley, will you send me one also? This is Janet.
Thank you.
They didn't get them?
Please. Thank you.
Yeah, they'll send them to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Do you have any questions?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Well, I hope it covers everything. I tried to cover everything.
God. Thank you.
I thought it would take me longer to read the word, but I encourage you to read the notes because really they will be helpful. Where you can find the scriptures, all about the scriptures, everything about the blood.
I think
Pastor Shirley.
Where it says, after Leviticus, it says there are three that bear witness in the earth, spirit, water, blood. These three agree in one. That is a reference to 1 John 5:7, which is not in all the Bibles. 1 John 5:8, and there are three that who bear witness in the earth. Spirit,
that was water, another.
And blood, and these three agree in one.
This is another thing I wanted to thank you. It's a good thing you mentioned that. There are different versions of the Bible out.
Amen.
And the different versions are not good.
Right.
This is why a lot of the people are in the condition they are in today. Because most of the versions have cut out the blood of Jesus. And there are scriptures in the tracts that are given there. I have more. I think the next seminar we're going to teach on is the different versions. And I did this once in a Bible study. I taught the different, I taught out of the King James. And I gave everybody in the Bible study a different Bible, a different version. And it was amazing to them how many scriptures are left out
right.
of the different versions. Right. It really is, it's an amazing thing.
My son, when we had the NIV, he said that it was a translation on the version of the oldest manuscripts, and he knew it was anti-King James, but to me, when I read the both of them, I go back to the King James, I don't feel comfortable with
mm-hmm. The King James is the best Bible
Amen.
That there is out. It's the most true. I mean, there are mistakes in it, but not as many as. Could you bring me one of those sheets, Rich, please? Yes. Just bring me one. We won't pass them out this time. But I want to read to you, thank you. I want to read to you out of the New English Version. There are 197 out of 200 scriptures that have been left out. Mm-hmm. Out of the New International Version, there are 195 out of 200. Out of the Revised Standard Version, 189. The Berkeley, 185. Weymouth's in modern speech, 184. The New American Standard, 183. Good News for Modern Man, 182. Williams New Testament, 180. The Good Godspeed's American Translation, 179. Moffat's, 175. Wist's, 169. The Amplified. Many people use the Amplified now. The Amplified leaves 165 out of 200. The 20th Century New Testament, 161. The Phillips New Testament, 142. The Darby's, 138. The Living New Testament Paraphrase, 130. New Confraternity New Testament, 119. The Eastern Text New Testament, 49. John Luther's, there are none. King James Version, the New Testament, there are none. And the Textus Receptus, the King James Greek, there are none. So this is just a sample of things. What I would like to teach on the next time is the different versions. So I think...
Very important.
Thanks to Shirley on that sheet, which they'll all get a copy of when we do the teaching on that. Up in the right-hand corner, there are 15 places where the Torah is removed, totally omitted. And it seems to me that that could contribute to the fact that we don't hear any teaching on the Torah
right.
in our churches.
Right. Right. These are the out of the Matthew 22 verses, Matthew 22 verses 4, 24 and 25, the blood's been taken out. Acts 5, 28 verses 20 to 28, the blood's been taken out. Romans 3, 25 to 5, 9 or and 5, 9. Ephesians 1, 7, verses 2, 13, Colossians 1, 14 to 20, Hebrews 10, 19, 1 Peter 1, 19, Revelation 1, 5, and 3, 9.
What about
so would any of you be interested in coming to a seminar on the translations?
Yes.
Okay. And the next seminar we'll have will be on the translations. And I think you will be surprised because we have even more of the test of the scriptures that the blood has all been removed on.
What about the New King James Version? I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm talking on Zoom.
Yes, the New King James Version. How does it enter in here? The New King James Version.
The New King James Version. There's about 168
omissions
in the New King James.
Right. The King James is really the only really official one it has that you can get. Because with the New Testament teaching, there is a book out called, the title of the thing that you all have, the revisions. There's a book out that has all the translations in it and the difference in it. And the Greek Receptus, which is what a lot of ministers use, the Greeks were written by Hoyt and...
And Westcott.
And yes. And they are all false. So I'll bring the books next time and you can look through them and see for yourself. All right?
Yes, real quick. One day the Lord spoke to you and you were doing all this with Pastor Shirley about the versions. And he said, the versions are the devil's tool to get my people out of my word
right.
and put them in man's word.
Right.
Or in James, you know, you add and take away from the Bible. Well, in the versions, they're adding or taking away from what? Man's word?
Right.
And what it is doing is preparing man for the one world church, the
right.
one world government, because when you stand before God someday, and he said, why did you not read my word? And you say, oh, well, I read your word every day. No, you didn't read my word. You read God's man's word.
Right.
Therefore, flee from me, for I know you not.
Come on.
So that's just a little insight I got from the Lord. And I stand very strong on versions. I mean, if you want to argue about versions, you want the guy to see, because I'll tell you why the versions are no good. I serve a living God.
Right.
When you take the blood out of the New Testament, what's left?
I'm old enough to say that we used to sing right out of the back Bible before we had the overhead. We just opened the King James and we could sing. We were all on the same words at the same time.
Right.
And memorization was good because everybody knew it was the same. But these versions, it's just a mess.
Right.
It's amazing when you have the different versions. And you see for yourself, because what we did was I read the King James and then we went around and they went, it was astounding. So that'll be something. And I'll bring all the Bibles. You don't have to bring any. So do you want to close us in prayer, Rich? Oh, is there anybody? There isn't anybody here that's unsaved, but I have to ask anyway. Okay, you're all saved. Praise God.
Is there anybody that needs prayer?
Anybody that needs prayer? Okay,
yes.
Rich.
Denise, that usually comes, she couldn't make it, and I told her we just lift her in prayer for whatever's going on in her life. I know she was having difficulty of pressure to get the jab in order to keep her job, so we could be agreeing in prayer that won't happen.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and include that in your prayer, Rich.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for this time that we have set and supped with you at the table with Pastor Shirley. We praise you. We thank you for your precious word. For it is truth from everlasting to everlasting. And you are the living God. We are sons and daughters of the living God, brothers and sisters of the risen Savior. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory for each and every one of them that are here this day, Father, to be blessed by your word and your presence. Bless each and every one as we go our separate ways, till we once again come back and we pray for Grandma Beck's niece, is it?
It's someone that usually comes here, Denise.
Denise? Okay, well, we hold her up in prayer, Father. You know her needs, you know her problems, and whatever it is. Right now, we renew and cast it out in the precious name of Jesus. By his blood, she is cleansed, washed clean, made whole. By his stripes, she is healed, and we walk in victory over sin, death, and affliction. Father, we praise you that we hold authority over the devil in the name of given and heaven, above all names, the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray and thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And all of you are covered with the blood.
Yes. Amen.